First of all, I'm very happy to welcome to our program this evening Medea Benjamin. She's co-founder of the groups Global Exchange and Code Pink Women for Peace, longtime activist, always energetic and on the cutting edge of things. Medea is the author, many of you are aware, of the book Drone Warfare, Killing by Remote Control. And we've invited Medea to join us tonight to discuss her end-of-the-year article titled 10 Good Things About the Year 2013, reflecting on some of the important accomplishments fought for by progressive activists during the year. And I was very happy to read Medea's summary about good news, especially in view of how many end-of-the-year lists focus on disasters, deaths, war, and celebrity scandals, and all those more trivial things. The end of the year, it seems to me, a great time to take stock of the successes progressive activists have had during the year. Thanks for joining us, Medea. Appreciate you being here.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
So maybe you, as we begin, Medea, you can sort of summarize for us briefly the reasons that you felt it was important to put this list together, and then we can get into some of the 10 good things that you did list.
There are so many groups and people who focus on everything that went wrong, and certainly there were a lot of things that went wrong this year. The wars are still raging. The government shutdown put so many people out of work. The lack of progress about immigrant rights when people work so hard to get some kind of pathway to citizenship. The healthcare reform that had such a terrible rollout and continues to have so many problems. There are a plethora of bad things, but I feel that for activists, we have to keep renewing our batteries, recharging ourselves, get excited about the possible. And so I feel it's important every year to put out 10 good things that happen to make us get into a mindset for the new year that we can, as activists, affect change.
Great. No, it's important to recognize things that have gone right as opposed to all the things that have gone wrong. If we were to have a balance sheet, I'm not sure where it would come at. But you're right. I think most activists by nature are optimistic. Otherwise, people wouldn't be engaged in the struggles they are engaged in, like you, Medea. But maybe we could start by summarizing the 10 good things that happened.
I think for me the most important was what I feel is a shift in the attitude that Americans have towards war. Post 9/11, there was a sense of we've got to exact revenge on anybody, basically. That's why the U.S. public was in favor of a war in Iraq that had nothing to do with 9/11, in favor of the invasion of Afghanistan. And, you know, Scott, we are a women-run organization, not exclusive to women, but I was so disappointed when I saw post-9/11 that there were more women than men who were in favor of these invasions. And so now when you look 12 years later, you have a totally different picture, which Americans are war-weary, but I say that Americans are also war-wise. That they've seen, or we've seen, that U.S. intervention has only led to more death and destruction and drained our economy. So when I look at something that's gone right this year, I see the spontaneous insurrection by Americans of all political stripes saying no to President Obama's red line, saying that he would invade Syria. I was in D.C. during that time. In fact, Code Pink set up an encampment 24/7 outside of Congress with big whiteboards where we put the names of every congressperson who was on the fence about this and sent people out every single day to visit their offices. And while we were in their offices, we heard the phones ringing off the hook from people back in their hometowns telling them, we do not want you to vote for another war. So that's why I put that as number one, Scott.
Thank you. Let's go through the list because they're certainly worth crowing about. Number two was the breakthrough with the nation of Iran.
Well, I think this also reflects that same sentiment, because certainly there are very powerful forces in the United States and globally that would like the U.S. to attack Iran's nuclear facilities, and that includes Israel. It includes the strong pro-Netanyahu lobby in the U.S., AIPAC. It includes the U.S. ally of Saudi Arabia. But instead of going down that route, the administration has chosen instead to push for negotiations. And we're very excited about that. We feel that with the election of the moderate Iranian leader, President Rouhani, this is really the time to reach out. Now, we are concerned that the continued sanctions and the push for even greater sanctions by some Democrats and Republicans alike, including the powerful Democratic Senator Robert Menendez from New Jersey, threaten to derail these talks. So one of the first things that Code Pink will be involved in the new year will be to focus on those senators who are against these negotiations and remind them that throughout their states there are people who insist that talking is better than fighting.
And it was interesting to note that within the Iranian parliament, to counter some of the moves by legislators in the United States, that Iranian legislators have said that if the U.S. imposes new sanctions during this time of negotiations, that they will move to redouble their efforts to enrich uranium, which is kind of threat, counter-threat, and who knows where that's going to end up. But
That's right, and Rouhani is facing a lot of criticism and pressure from the right in Iran to not go ahead with these talks. So, ironically, the U.S. Anti-negotiation sector are strengthening the hand of the right wing in Iran, and that's not good for the Iranian people, it's not good for Americans, and frankly, it's not good for Israel either.
Yeah, no, it's like any of these issues, there are hawks on both sides that somehow think they'll benefit from hostilities or out-and-out war, which is, you know, criminal. But, all right, well, let's move on to number three, and Edward Snowden is the topic of your third good thing of the year, 2013, and certainly Edward Snowden really did manage to change the conversation in this country and around the world about the NSA surveillance programs.
Yes, I just came back from a trip to Europe, Scott, and it was amazing to hear how much Edward Snowden was dominating the conversation there, how appalled people were in Germany, for example, that the NSA had been tapping the phone of the chancellor, how people in Germany just and throughout Europe really felt that Edward Snowden was a hero. And I think, as I pointed out in this piece, when Edward Snowden said early on that his greatest fear was not what the government would do to him, but that nothing would change, I was very concerned and felt that that was placing the burden, and rightly so, on us, the American people, to say, make sure you take this information that I have helped to expose and you do something with it. And I feel that as this year comes to an end, we can say that that's happening, that as Snowden himself has said, that he has been vindicated and that he feels that much of what he wanted has been accomplished just by the fact that there is so much discussion now about what do Americans want, what does the world community want, and how are we going to, in the coming year, rein in the NSA.
And the one thing that's it's frustrating to talk to people who support President Obama in this NSA surveillance programs begun by his predecessor, George W. Bush, in that, you know, there are people out there who say, oh, I trust Obama. You know, he wouldn't abuse this authority. But, of course, a precedent has been set here. And if these programs go on and on unchecked without, you know, much in the way of any kind of counterbalance, there are just incredibly dangerous opportunities for abuse by future presidents and people who may not be trusted by the same folks who now trust Obama. And, you know,
well, that's
we,
right.
We, right.
Scott, and that really brings us to the next point, because the next point is about killer drones. And here you have a program that was started under President Bush, but it was really under Obama that this came to be such a key element of foreign policy. And so when you're talking about abuse by the NSA and potential further abuses by other presidents, just look at what the Obama administration has done with the killer drones. And we've worked a lot on this over the year, building up the protest movement around the country, hooking up with people overseas in Yemen and in Pakistan, Afghanistan, bringing these stories back to the United States. And we've been excited about how the growing opposition to drones, both at home and abroad, has really been forcing the Obama administration to talk about a program that it wouldn't even admit was happening, and more important, to reduce the number of drone strikes. It's not enough, and we certainly saw this in a couple of 2 weeks ago with the drone strike that hit a wedding party in Yemen. We must keep working to end these drone strikes. But we already are having an impact, and we see that in public opinion as well. If you look back in 2012, over 80% of Americans were in favor of using drones to kill terrorist suspects, meaning people that had never been convicted of anything. Today, that number is down to about 60%, which is a pretty significant drop in the course of less than 2 years.
Well, Medea, I just want to, you know, personally, and I know I'm speaking for a lot of our listeners, thank you for your activism on this issue. Your book, Drone Warfare, Killing by Remote Control, certainly woke a lot of people up to the disaster that the drone program has caused this country. And I think, you know, you rightly point out when you're speaking out at congressional hearings or protesting at speeches by key government figures who manage this drone program, you point out constantly that the drone program, by killing so many innocent civilians in the course of the, you know, the bombing of this or that village or wedding party or whatever you turn to in terms of the sordid history here, it blows back on us, as the term goes, because we create a lot more allies of terrorism when family members are killed from, you know, bombs from the sky drop on their village. And you can certainly say this better than I, but this is to the benefit of our country if we rein in this program, which seems out of control.
Well, that's right. It is out of control, and it's also the issue of proliferation. And just today, Scott, the Federal Aviation Administration, which is in charge of our airspace, took the next step in opening up our airspace, and that is it authorized 6 test sites within the United States to be the places that figure out how are we going to safely open up our airspace to drones in 2015. And these sites are in Alaska, Nevada, New York, North Dakota, Texas, and Virginia. This moves us one step closer to having 20 to 30,000 drones in our own airspace. So I say to people who are not very concerned about the fact that we are killing thousands of people overseas, poor people of color in other countries with our drones, we better not be too complacent, because this technology is coming back to haunt us. And it's one thing if you are going to get your package from Amazon delivered by a drone. It's another thing if you're going to have lasers or stun grenades or even bombs delivered by drones.
Well, thank you, Medea. Medea Benjamin is our guest tonight, co-founder of the groups Code Pink, Women for Peace, and Global Exchange. And we're talking about her end-of-the-year article, 10 Good Things About the Year 2013. And the next on this list is the new pope. You want to talk about the new pope, Medea?
Well, yes. You know, I really thought whether I should include the pope, because it's so many people have done it, and is this really something that I wanted to focus on, given that it is the Catholic Church with all of its problems, the pope is still not come out for things that many progressives are concerned about, like the issues of gay marriage and rights of the gay and lesbian community, the issue of women's ordination. On the other hand, I, and I would say many people in the progressive community, we do the work we do because we care about other people. And when I see the things that not only has the Pope said but done that show that he has a love for all people, it is something that, has brought me to tears, and I think it's important to talk about, that he has snuck out at night to feed the homeless, that when it was his birthday, he went out and invited people who were sleeping under the portico in the Vatican to come in and have a birthday meal with him. The fact that he was went out and had his picture taken as well while he was washing the feet of young prisoners. All of these are things that set an example that we want to be set by people in leadership positions, which is to care about the poor, care about inequality, question the morality of capitalism, live simply. So I think it's really quite amazing that somebody is now the head of the Catholic Church who is taking us back to the days of liberation theology and injecting a new positive spirit into this scandal-ridden Catholic Church.
And anybody who's labeled by, you know, radio hate disc jockey Rush Limbaugh as a Marxist has got to be a good guy in my book. Well, we could go through some of the other ones in quick succession, and then maybe we'll leave a couple of minutes spare time so we could kind of look at some of the big issues you're hoping for breakthroughs on in the year ahead. But the next one on your list is the rise up of low-wage workers.
Yes, I think it's really important to recognize that many people, thousands of workers at a risk to their livelihood, have stepped out of the workplace and into the streets, whether it's protesting McDonald's or Walmart, and that as a result of that, we have seen in states and cities throughout the country minimum wage increases, cost of living increases, and real movements to push up the shamefully low minimum wage in this country.
And immigration was the next one, although the immigrants did not get a bill passed through Congress as they wanted for reform. There was progress and a lot more activism around the country.
Well, that's right, and I thought about this one. Do you not include a group that has done such amazing organizing because they didn't win? And I thought, no, you know, they have really set the bar quite high in terms of people using nonviolent tactics, putting themselves at risk, and changing public opinion and the minds of many members of Congress. And I think this is going to lead to significant changes in hopefully the next year, and that's why I thought it was important to recognize all the marvelous organizing the immigrant rights community has done.
Next on the list is gay marriage. Big breakthroughs there, thanks to the Supreme Court and many states around the country in succession approving laws legalizing gay marriage.
Well, that's right. And I also added the Senate voting in favor of the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, ENDA. This has not passed in the House. Ridiculous that in this day and age the LGBT community does not have the right of non-discrimination in the workplace. But we do see minds being changed in the Republican Congress as well, and maybe this is something that can pass next year.
And the last two are reduction of the death penalty. We had the opportunity to talk to Richard Dieter of the Death Penalty Information Center last week, who summarized a lot of the dramatic reduction in the number of executions around the country, and then, of course, the marijuana laws that have been changed. We're going to be talking a little bit about that more tonight. But you want to go through those two?
Let me just say on those last two things, it's not only what happened in the United States, it's also changes around the world. Very few countries now actually use the death penalty, only 21 nations, and around the world, in the terms of marijuana, we do see that Uruguay became the first nation to fully legalize marijuana. So it's good to look at what's happening inside and outside the U.S.
Well, Medea, as we close out, and I want to certainly thank you for all your many years of activism and pushing the issues forward we need to think about and take action on. But as you look to the year ahead, 2014, what are the things that you're going to be focusing on? What do you think our listeners should be thinking about when it comes to, you know, their focus of attention on the big issues of the day?
Well, I, along with my Code Pink colleagues, will be heading out in 2 weeks' time to Geneva, Switzerland, where the talks, peace talks around Syria are taking place, and we'll be there to push for a ceasefire, arms embargo, and women at the peace table. I think it's important to recognize that while we're happy the U.S. didn't get involved in military intervention in Syria, we can't be complacent about all the suffering that's going on there. I do think it's important that we continue the work to ground the killer drones and stop the proliferation there. Israel-Palestine continues to be a place where there is no solution in sight, and we've got to pressure harder that the U.S. Stop granting Israel carte blanche, $3 billion of our tax money, while it continues the settlements, and the situation for people in Gaza is extremely dire right now. Iran, I would say, not only to push to continue the negotiations, but let's start lifting those crippling sanctions that are hurting millions and millions of ordinary Iranians. And these are some of the issues, Scott. And the other, I would say, is Afghanistan, to push to bring our troops home and not allow the Obama administration to continue to leave thousands of soldiers in Afghanistan.
And Medea, I'll just mention something that's been on my mind, and that is some signs, certainly since the birth of the Occupy Wall Street movement in 2011, of a progressive populism that seems to be taking hold, which is evidenced in your list, in the uprising of the low-wage workers. You know, we have the election of Bill de Blasio in New York City and his very progressive platform, overwhelming support for a raise in the minimum wage. I'm just thinking that we could see some breakthroughs in terms of economic policy and public support for those policies in the year ahead. What do you think?
I agree with you totally. I think that there is a sense out there that the CEO pay is out of control, that the inequalities are out of control, that people who work for a living should get a fair wage. And I see a lot of sympathy towards low-wage workers who work sometimes two jobs and still don't have enough to feed their families. So I agree with you there that this is an area around economic equality and economic justice that we can see some breakthroughs in the coming year.
And we have an ally in the new Pope, too, so that's always a good thing, right?
That's right.
All right. Well, Medea, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on the year past and on the year ahead. And again, thank you for all you do throughout the year and for many years, really pushing the envelope on the important issues that, again, we all need to think about and take action on. Have a great new year, Medea. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Scott. Your listeners can follow us by signing up at codepink.org.
Codepink.org. Appreciate it, Medea.
Right. Thanks so much. Happy New Year to you.
To you,
bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye. That's Medea Benjamin, co-founder of the groups Code Pink, Women for Peace, and Global Exchange.